All right, if you'll open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 16, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2 of this chapter tonight. Of course, we've gotten to this chapter in our study of Romans, but we're not going to go very far or very deeply into it. I know everybody's tired. It's been a long day, but what a great day it has been. Wonderful singing this afternoon and a tremendous meal and a baptism following, and it's just been a wonderful day, and appreciate, just as John said, so much everybody who has helped and worked together and pitched in to make it such a good day. It takes that, all of us working together, and I know I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm sure you have too. Chapter 16, of course, of Romans is a list of names, and sometimes lists of names can seem kind of boring or maybe even pointless. But there are a lot of lessons to be learned from this chapter. And we're going to talk tonight specifically about Phoebe. Phoebe is mentioned in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. It kind of gives us the idea of the chapter that as Paul is talking about the gospel, it's the gospel of service. And he begins to point out individuals and their work and their service in the kingdom. And Phoebe is an example of that. As far as I know, it's the only time she's mentioned in the Bible. Her name means bright or radiant, and this is what Paul wrote about her. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. And as you go through those two verses, there are four words, each starts with the letter S, that describe Phoebe to us. And we want to look at those four words briefly tonight and hopefully learn some lessons about what it means to be a Christian and to live as a Christian and to do the work of the church. So her name is Phoebe. It means, as we said, bright or radiant. And the first thing we learn is that she is a sister. Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. A sister in Christ, of course, means that she's obeyed the gospel of Christ. Her sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. She was baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And when that happened, the Lord added her to his family. The Lord adds to the church those who are being saved. Acts chapter 2 teaches us down at the end of verse 47. And being a part of the church is becoming a part of the Lord's family. And if God is your father and God is my father, we have the same father, then that makes us brothers and sisters. And so she was a sister in Christ because she had obeyed the same gospel that Paul and that all these other Christians had obeyed and that you and I have obeyed. So she's our sister too. So she was a sister to Paul because they both, again, had obeyed the same gospel. She was a sister of the church at Cenchrea. So she was a member of that congregation. So Paul, you remember when we first introduced the book of Romans, we talked about the setting and the things that Paul writes about seems to indicate that he wrote while he was at Corinth. Well, Cenchrea is the port city of Corinth. So if you lived in Corinth and you wanted to send something by a boat somewhere else, you would go to Cenchrea. And then it would, that's on the coast, and they would be put on a ship and sent out from there. So the two cities were close to one another, several miles apart, but they were closely related. And she was a member of the church at Cenchrea. So there was a church in Cenchrea, there was a church in Corinth, and no doubt other places as well, maybe that are not even mentioned in the Bible, but in this region of Greece. So she was a sister to Paul. But she was also a sister to all of those who had obeyed the gospel in the city where she lived and the congregation that she was a part of. But she was also a sister to the brethren at Rome. And she had probably never even met any of them, had never had any contact with the church at Rome. But because we obey the same gospel and we're part of the same family, we're brothers and sisters. So even Christians that we've never met in parts of the world that we may never travel to, we are family one with another. And when we do travel to other parts of the world and we find a congregation of God's people, we found kinfolks, we found family. And we saw that today with so many coming in from all over, you know, different parts of this country. We can come together as one, even though we're from different places and different backgrounds and different human families. We're all part of God's family. And Phoebe is a picture of that and a demonstration of that, what a joy it is to be a Christian, that she is going to travel from Cenchrea to Rome, and Paul recommends her to those brethren because they are her family. And so wherever we go, wherever the church is located, we have family there. And that's one of the spiritual blessings of being a child of God and a citizen of the Lord's kingdom, that we have family all over the earth and we can enjoy fellowship one with another. So we know when we gather with other brothers and sisters in Christ that we're going to worship the same God, we're going to follow the same Bible, we're going to do the same acts of worship, teach the same plan of salvation, all of those things that unite us because we're family. And so Phoebe, as a sister, demonstrates that principle of our fellowship and our unity in Christ. Secondly, Phoebe was a sister, but she was also a servant. The end of verse 1 says, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Now, I want to take just a minute to talk about this idea of Phoebe being a servant, because the word that's used here, the Greek word, is the word diakonos in the feminine sense. And so if you just take that word from the Greek and put it into English, you have the idea of a deaconess. And so because of that, some will use this passage, this word, to try to teach that the church has deaconesses, by which they mean female deacons. But what we have to understand is that, first of all, the word for deacon, diakonos, just means servant. And so when we have deacons in the church, they're just servants. Servants in the Lord's church. And in fact, that word diakonos can describe every Christian, just like the word minister. The word minister just means a servant. It's not just preachers who are ministers, but all Christians are ministers. Well, there's also a sense in which all Christians are deacons. But God has specified a use of the word deacon into what we think of or call the office of a deacon. And he did that by giving qualifications that a person must meet in order to be a deacon. And so those qualifications are given us over in Timothy, especially. We have the list, you know, of all of those things that you have to comply with in order to be appointed to this office of a deacon. So not just anybody can be a deacon. Any Christian can be a servant, what the word diakonos means, but not any Christian can be a deacon. Only those who meet those qualifications. And one of the qualifications of being a deacon is to be the husband of one wife. And no matter what our world today tells us, it is impossible, biblically speaking, for a woman to be the husband of one wife. And so Phoebe was a deaconess in the sense that she was a female servant in the church, but she was not in an official capacity a deaconess, a female deacon. There is no such thing in the New Testament. It's only men. The word elder, you know, refers to a person who is older. There are a lot of Christians who are elders in the sense that lived a lot of years, but only those who meet the qualifications can serve in the office of an elder. And so that's the principle also with deacons here, and with Phoebe being a female servant. It doesn't mean that she's a deacon in any kind of official sense, but that she was a woman who served. So we have to say all of that because the religious world creates this office of deaconesses and tries to appoint women into positions that God doesn't authorize them to have. And so we have to, you know, talk about God's role for men and women, and that women are not to teach nor usurp authority over the men, that women don't serve as elders or deacons and preachers and all of those things. And we have to talk about that. But sometimes when we focus just on that, we miss what Paul's actually telling us here, that women are servants in the church just like men are, and just as important in their service as men are. I want you to think about something with Phoebe. If you turn to the very end of the book of Romans in your Bible, verse 27 is the last verse. And if your Bible is like mine, there's a little statement written after verse 27, which is not written by inspiration, but there's a historical precedent for many of these things that are found in our Bibles. But mine says, written to the Romans from Corinthus, which is Corinth, and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church at Cenchrea. And the usual understanding is that when Paul finished writing the letter to the church at Rome, that Phoebe was leaving from Cenchrea to make a business trip to Rome, because he talks about her business affairs in verse 2. And so Paul sent the epistle to the Romans by Phoebe to the church at Rome. So it went from Corinth through Cenchrea on a boat, probably, since it was a seaport, carried by Phoebe, you know, as a scroll, no doubt, in her bag or whatever, and she took it from Cenchrea to the church at Rome and presented it to the elders or to the congregation there. Now, Phoebe didn't write the book of Romans. Paul did. Phoebe, when she got to the church at Rome, she didn't stand up before the congregation and say, "I have a letter from Paul, let me read it to you," because that would not have been her role or her position. But if it were not for Phoebe, the church at Rome would not have received this letter from Paul. And truth be told, you and I would not be reading the book of Romans tonight. This is it. This is the one copy of the book of Romans, right? Think about all the things that we've studied and talked about in this book, and the depth of it, and the majesty of it, and all of these doctrines that Paul, by inspiration, has taught and expounded upon, and understand that this book wouldn't exist without Phoebe. She's the one who transported it to Rome, where they then had it and could make copies to be distributed among the congregations where they were collected and became a part of the New Testament today. Paul understood that she was the kind of person that he could entrust this Spirit-inspired writing to, and she would protect it and take care of it and deliver it where it needed to go. So she didn't have to write the book, and she didn't have to stand up and read the book, and she didn't have to preach from the book, but think about the role that she had as a servant in delivering the message from one place to another. Nowhere in that journey does she usurp authority over the men to take a position of authority over male members of the Lord's church, but what an important work she had to do. And that's still true of women today. God, of course, gives us as men and women different roles and different functions in the church, especially in the public worship assembly and things of that nature, but he expects all of us to be servants. And we may not be able to serve in the same ways, but we're to serve in whatever way that we can. And this was something that Phoebe could do. And not only that she could do, but that she was qualified to do. She was trustworthy to do. Paul understood that he could trust her to see that this letter got to where it needed to be. And so here you have a woman in the church who was a servant. Without usurping authority, without stepping out of God's ordained role for women, but what a tremendous work she did. And we understand that, right? How would today have gone without the women of this congregation, right? We'd all be a lot hungrier for sure, but not only that, what would the singing sound like if it was just the men singing, right? All these things that women can do. People try to take the teaching of Scripture, you know, that men have the leadership role in the public assembly, and say that demeans women or that they're not important or whatever. And that's not at all what the Bible teaches. We have a different role and different functions, but each is just as essential as the other. And so we need one another. We need men who are faithful to the Lord, and we need faithful women like Phoebe. So she was a servant. She was a deaconess, if you want to use that term, not in the religious world's sense of the term, but a female servant of the Lord's church. And she carried out that work faithfully. And so again, you think, who would be teaching our Bible classes without the women, right? They're so often the ones who step up and do that work and are great at it and have the talent and the ability for it. And God has provided that way for them to be able to use it. And so we all have a role, is the point. We all have a work to do, no matter who we are. No matter what our gender is, God wants all of us to serve. And Phoebe is a tremendous example of that. So think again how she's singled out here by Paul. He recommends her to the church at Rome. And by recommending her, he's saying, when she brings you this letter, you can be sure that this is from me. You can trust her and that she's delivering God's word to you that Paul had written down. And so what a beautiful picture that is for us. Then we come to verse number two, now point number three. He says that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. And so the third point is that Phoebe was a saint. And so again, we understand that to be a Christian means to be sanctified. We talked about it this morning. To be holy means to be sanctified, set apart from the world for the service of God. And that's what it means to be a saint, that you've obeyed the gospel, your sins are forgiven, and by that you're set apart from the world and set apart to God and to his service. And so Phoebe was a saint, again, by her obedience to the gospel. And so they were to receive her as becometh saints. And that means you treat her like you would any other Christian because she is a child of God. She is a sister in Christ. And she has all the rights and privileges that pertain thereto, right? She's not an inferior Christian because she's a woman. She's not a Christian down here and the men are Christians up here. But she's a saint just like the men were saints. And so treat each other the same way with that same kind of equality. So they were to receive her as becometh saints because she was a saint. And then it also means that they were to treat her as Christians, to be kind to her, to show Christian love toward her, brotherly love. This is a woman traveling in a time, you know, when women didn't usually do that. And maybe she's traveling with her husband or family. We don't know for sure. But maybe she's traveling alone. Whatever the case is, they were to accept her and treat her as though they were her family. She's going to a city where, you know, now she's alone in essence and not with her physical family and around people that she knows. They were to become her spiritual family. So she was a saint. They were to act like saints toward her. And we need to do the same. When someone visits with us, they're our family if they're a brother or sister in Christ. And we need to act like Christians toward them. We ought to anyway, toward all people, act like Christians, but we understand the principle. When someone obeys the gospel and becomes a child of God, we need to start treating them like family because they're going to need that support and that encouragement. So as becometh saints, you be like a Christian and understand that she is a Christian and treat each other as family. But he also says that you receive her in the Lord. And that, of course, means that she was in the Lord. She's a Christian, but also as the Lord would receive her. So what would Jesus do if a stranger visited our service? If a brother or sister from out of town came by to visit? If someone became a new member of the Lord's church, how would Jesus treat that individual? Well, that's how we're supposed to act toward them because we're saints. And they've become saints, and that makes us equal and one in Christ. So he says that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. And so for whatever reason she was coming to Rome, whatever business it was, Paul says you help her in whatever way she needs. And so she's traveling to Rome, she may need a place to stay. You Christians take care of her and give her a bed to sleep in, a place to stay. Help her find where she can eat her meals and all of those things. It's the principle of hospitality. Why do we do that? Because she's a saint. This is not just some person that wandered in off the street. This is not some rank sinner who, you know, is going to cut our throat in the middle of the night if we're good to them. This is a saint. This is a person set apart from the world to serve God. And we need to treat them as such, see them as such, and treat them as such. And I think sometimes we fail to do that in relation to our brethren in Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We just see each other as just people, or maybe even just neighbors. And we are those things. But if someone's a Christian, they're more than that. They're not a part of this world. They're a part of God's kingdom. And we need to treat them that way. And so Phoebe was a saint. And then in the fourth place, at the end of verse number 2, he says, "For she hath been a succorer of many, and also of myself." And so number 4, Phoebe was a succorer. And that's an old-timey word that simply means a helper. She was one who helps. And he says that she has been a helper of many and of myself also. And so as a servant of the church, Phoebe had helped Paul. And we don't know exactly in what way, but you imagine all of the things that Paul did and all the things that he suffered, how he needed people to help him. Well, she was one who did. There were many who turned away from Paul when he was imprisoned or when he suffered for preaching the gospel. They didn't want to get caught up in that. They didn't want to be persecuted. But then there were those who stood by his side and helped him. And we think of, you know, great, there's some great examples in this chapter, but those who stayed with him. Phoebe was one of those who was a helper. But she didn't just help Paul, she helped many. And that no doubt includes members of the church, because she was a member of the church and she helped her brothers and sisters. But I don't think it's limited to that. She was a helper of any who were in need. And so Paul says she was a helper, a succorer of many and of myself also. And it's because she was a helper to so many that she was qualified to receive assistance from the church at Rome when she was visiting there among them. She wasn't, if she came to that city and, you know, was assembling with the saints at Rome, she's not just a person who's there just to take up space, but she's a worker and a helper. And so they could help take care of her, and she would do what she could in the church, and everybody would benefit and grow and be encouraged from their being together. If she were the one to take the letter from Cenchrea to Rome, which seems very likely, then again, that shows her willingness to help. Think about that responsibility. That imagine that, you know, there's one copy of God's word and it's entrusted to you. There was a movie made about this not too long ago. I can't remember the name of it, but it's like, you know, society's been destroyed and people are trying to collect books. And one of them was the Bible. And this guy had the one copy of the Bible, right? And he's trying to get it to this place to keep it safe. What if that were you or me? And that were it, that's what was entrusted to us. Well, Phoebe was someone that could be trusted. She was a helper, and she did what she could to serve. And so Paul wrote from Corinth. Cenchrea was just a few miles outside of it. It's very likely that that's exactly what she did. So I want us to think about those four terms and think about Phoebe. That Phoebe was a sister who was also a servant, a saint, and a succorer or a helper. And when you look at those four words and see them embodied in the life of this individual, we're given a picture of what it means to be a Christian. That we too are to be brothers and sisters, separated from the world as saints, but we become servants who are helpers. And it doesn't matter if we're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if we're rich or poor. It doesn't matter how highly or lowly educated we are. It just matters that we're one in Christ. And we all have different talents and abilities. We all come from different backgrounds. But when we become one in Christ, we each use those things to serve God. And when we do that, the work of the church is accomplished. Paul was able to write this letter and to get it to Rome and for it to be, again, copied and placed in our Bibles as it is today, because he had others who helped and who worked alongside him. And that's the only way the Lord's work gets done. We saw that today, and it was just one example, but everybody doing his or her part and everybody finding, you know, our place and our role and working together. What a great day we had today, and what great things were accomplished. And imagine, you know, how God was honored and glorified by what took place here today. The worship and the singing and the fellowship and a baptism, you know, into his son. All of those things. But it happened because we were trying to be like Phoebe. And so she's an example. It's a very simple example and a very small example in the grand scheme of things. But in God's eyes, it's huge and it's important. And there are no little Christians in the Lord's church. We're all important and necessary. And you or I, we may just be a Phoebe, but not only is that enough, but it's what God wants us to be like Phoebe, and to live the kind of life that she did, and we can accomplish the good like she accomplished, and make the church what God wants it to be. So I hope that thinking about this will encourage us to have that kind of attitude toward our place and toward our work in the church, that we'll give it our all so we can be united, so we can treat one another as family, so we can serve God, be a light in this world, and make it to that eternal home in heaven. As we close tonight, we may look at our lives and realize that we haven't been doing what we should. Maybe there's sin that separated us from God that needs to be made right so we can truly serve Him as Phoebe did and as we should, to find our place and to do our work. We have to get rid of our sins in order to be able to do that, and we have that opportunity tonight. If you need forgiveness in a public way, we're here to help in any way that we can. If you need to become a Christian, faith in Jesus, repentance of sin, confessing the name of Christ, and then being baptized for the remission of sins, that's the way into Christ, the way to forgiveness and salvation, and then we begin that Christian life that leads to an eternal home in heaven. If you've done that but haven't been faithful and have sins, again, that need to be forgiven, repent of those, confess them, and pray for forgiveness, and God will forgive. We'll pray with and for you, and God will forgive us of those sins and restore us to salvation. If you need to do that tonight and we can help you in any way, the opportunity is yours if you'll come forward as we stand and as we sing.